Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. Today, we will start by talking about Mark Zuckerberg, and I never thought I would agree with him on anything, but this time I can't really deny that he's making a point. He basically said that generative AI should be open source in order to really benefit everyone. Now, he of course outlines all the usual open source benefits, as in encouraging innovation by letting people tweak, modify, and play around with stuff, instead of stifling innovation with black boxes and patents. It also lets a lot more people collaborate and code on one single code base, and it lets people invent interesting derivatives by forking that same code base. The usual counter argument for this kind of stuff, especially for technology that is seen as very critical, like AI, is if we open source all this, other companies can catch up to us and use the exact same technology, us being wherever this AI model is being developed. To this, Zuckerberg said that closed source code is regularly stolen and used anyway, and the benefits of open source outweighs the slightly easier code grabbing from other countries. Of course, Zuckerberg isn't likely pushing this narrative because he loves open source and he really wants to help the entire world. He probably just hopes to draw more people into Meta's Llama AI models, since these are shared as open source, at least some of them are. No matter the reason, if the license is right and if the project's governance isn't too restrictive, I don't really care what the motivations are. AI is one of the things that should always be open, if only to help identify the biases, the data sources that have been used, and also because this technology could really be useful to everyone, and it shouldn't be locked to a few major vendors that control everything. We do not want a Microsoft Windows or a Google of AI. Having everything open source doesn't prevent the rise of something like Google, because Google built its monopoly on a lot of open source stuff, but it is still a bit harder to ensure that no one can access something after you've opened the code to everyone. Now, Hyperland, the Wayland compositor with snazzy effects, is now completely independent of WL-Roots, this thing being a reference implementation and library that compositors can use to get up to speed with Wayland protocols way faster than redeveloping an entire window manager. Hyperland rewrote all the protocol implementations and also all the backend implementations, following their own brand new model using C++ as the language. They also built Aquamarine from this. This is a library that can be used by other compositors, but it's way smaller scale than WLRoots. They say it's not a competitor to the full WLRoots implementation. It is only for backend features. So the interaction that your compositor could have with the graphics rendering and the input devices systems available on Linux. You can't just use Aquamarine to make an entire compositor. You still have to develop most implementations of most of the Wayland protocols. But it makes that lower level stuff more accessible. The transition from the current WLRoots Hyperland to the newer one is apparently pretty seamless for most users. There are a few changes to the config options that you can set, but they are all detailed in the Hyperland wiki, and they don't look like they are going to be too hard to handle. This might make window managers enthusiasts happy, because one common criticism against Wayland is that writing a new window manager is a lot of work compared to writing a new X11 window manager, because X11 implemented a lot of the protocols itself, where on Wayland, it's the compositor that has to implement them. So unless you wanted to use WLRoots, which is a bit monolithic for some people, then you had to rewrite a lot of stuff from scratch. Having another smaller base that you can build upon isn't a bad thing. You're still going to have to do a lot of work to build something on top of Aquamarine, but it still helps compared to having to choose between do everything or use WLRoots entirely. And the CrowdStrike saga doesn't stop, as the company responsible for millions of Windows PCs crashing decided that the best way to rebuild consumer trust was to send them a $10 Uber Eats gift card. I thought this was a joke at first, something out of The Onion, But no, it's been confirmed by the CrowdStrike spokesperson. To add insult to injury, Uber Eats thought that the activity around these cards was suspicious because there were way too many cards from one single vendor, and so they revoked a bunch of them before customers could even redeem them, meaning some people couldn't even have access to that really crappy compensation. This is absolutely hilarious to me, like considering that someone will say, oh, you know what, that's fine, $10 gift card for Uber Eats so I can buy like three coffees or one Starbucks coffee. Yeah, that's good. On top of that, Malaysia asked Microsoft and CrowdStrike to consider paying damages to the companies that suffered losses during the outage. This is not a like legal threat or anything. They're just asking them, hey, take your responsibilities here. And it's absolutely fair. A lot of these companies that were affected will have to pay damages to their own customers for broken service agreements, and there is no real reason that these companies should eat that loss, unless they didn't have any service agreements with CrowdStrike or with Microsoft, which in the case of the bigger companies, I highly doubt they wouldn't have that. The losses were apparently estimated at $5.4 billion for just the US Fortune 500 companies. I have to assume it is much higher than this if you take into account companies from outside the US. And on top of that, insurers say that only half a billion to 1 billion of these 5 billion losses were actually insured. So no one is gonna get their money back here. Even if you think Microsoft had no way of avoiding this crash at all, or to help customers recover faster from this boot loop and blue screen of death loop, even if you think there was nothing they could have done in terms of OS design, even if you think CrowdStrike isn't to blame because mistakes happen, they happen to every company, and if you're a big company, it happens to a lot of people, this is still a very good ad for not using the same service as everyone else and to diversify providers. This is true of companies. This is also true of individuals. Do not put all your digital eggs in one single digital basket is what I'm saying here. Diversify where you place your data, what you use as operating systems, as applications, because if something dies on you, at least you still have a backup and a fallback and a way to recover relatively easily compared to being stuck with one single thing that failed you and failed the entire world as well. Okay, so this will conclude today's episode. As always, I hope you enjoyed it, and as always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!